The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Today on the God Pod, I do love that name, Only Sky.
Right?
There's nothing up there. It's right. Only Sky.
Do you think they would let me have a page there, or would they ban me?
There is a humor section.
Oh, what? What?
Hemant, I was just Googling you, and I saw you were on Jeopardy?
I was.
That's incredible.
Was that?
April of 2020, because I was competing with the pandemic. Listen, if there's a Survivor version in English, whether it's in the U.S., Australian Survivor is fantastic.
I'm a huge Survivor fan. I love watching these humans pretend to starve on islands and stuff. It just takes me back. Hi, everyone. God here. You're listening to the God Pod. I'm here today with my pal, Jesus. What's up, Jesus?
Hey, God. Doing well. How are you?
Good. How was your weekend?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, actually, I was reading the Bible a little bit over the weekend.
Oh, no. Really?
And I noticed I used to say truly, truly a lot. Do you remember that? So
yeah.
I'm going to start trying to bring that back.
Mary Magdalene isn't here with us today. She's on vacation. So, sorry, listeners. We'll see you next week, Mary. We love you.
Yes, we do.
Coming up next week is our party, right?
All right.
March.
Latest party.
24th. Go to thegodpodcast.com, join our Patreon, join our newsletter, and come to the party. Also here today with us is Hemant Mehta.
Hello.
Hey. Hey, Hemant. Welcome back.
Thank you.
How have you been?
I've been fine. Thanks for that. Thanks for everything you're putting everyone through.
Oh, yeah, it's all me.
I've been watching way too many of your preachers lately, and they're horrible. They're scary.
Yeah.
Oh.
That is your beat. That's your lane.
I don't like that lane, but it is my lane at this point.
You document.
Yes.
So, in case anyone doesn't know, Hemant here was our first guest on the God Pod.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you're back for a second go. That's a good sign.
You've resurrected me.
It's been 2 years.
Has it really?
It's been 2 years.
Oh, shit. No way.
And a lot has happened. But yeah, thanks for coming back. Hemant is known around the internet and the world as the friendly atheist. Are you still known as that, Hemant?
That can't possibly be accurate anymore. But if that's the thing people want to use, sure.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well,
but that's the name of your site, right?
Yeah. So if you go to friendlyatheist.com, it'll take you to where I am. But right now I've been posting a lot more at a place called onlysky.media, which is kind of a hub for a lot of atheist writers from different walks of life. It's very positive. It's very positive. And there's a lot of interesting things on there that go beyond, you know, religious people behaving badly. Or, you know, here's why you should be an atheist. It's very much of, you know, I'm an atheist and here is what's going on in my world from my perspective. And there's dozens of writers. It's a really cool project. So that's kind of where I've been writing about my usual stuff.
Because I heard, so you were on like this other service for a long time.
Yeah.
Pathios.
I was writing. Yeah. Yeah.
And then
Pathios decided they want to take a very religion is good direction, which, to be honest with you, from a business perspective, I get that. It's easier to find advertisers when you could say religion is good rather than, oh, hey, there's a bunch of people who are going to trash the sort of thing you want to advertise.
So back up, because our listeners don't know what happened. You were on Pathios for a long time.
Long time,
and then all of a sudden, this website just up and decides that atheists no longer allowed.
Not quite. Let me clarify that. I was there for a long time because Patheos said it was like a hub for religious discussion, no matter where you are on the religious spectrum. They were cool with atheists. Yeah. Right. And they went through different ownership changes. And a while back, they decided that the future of the business, which it was a business, is to go all in on religion is good.
Oh,
if you want
to, if you're
a progressive Christian or whatever, fine.
Right.
If you're non-Christian, that's fine. But we want to be a site for like positive religion. And the atheists who were critical of it, it's probably not a good home. By the way, I should say, they did not get rid of all the atheists. There are some atheists who are still there, but they don't trashing religion. That's not their thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was a good time for me to switch places. Wow. And so I get it.
This same thing happened on Reddit back in the day. You were like, all of a sudden they're like, our atheism thing was, I hate to bring it up. It was big on the front page of Reddit every day. I know this because my posts, my content was showing up on the front page of Reddit. Okay.
You know what? What happened there is Reddit atheism, the subreddit, used to be a default option for anyone who signed up for a new account. Like, you had to actively say, I don't want to be a part of it. And then they said, you know what? We're going to remove that. And
on top of that, they were like, and by the way, we're going to institute our own moderators here.
Right.
No more jokes allowed. It's only going to be articles from the Friendly Atheist. and others such like, because for some reason they were anti-joke, but the real reason they were against it was because they were succeeding. And I think that I saw it at the time.
People are sharing and upvoting your posts.
My post, not just mine, but many memes are a very quick way to penetrate with ideas, and in this internet meme culture.
I'm not a part of that discussion per se. I'm not like a moderator on that subreddit, but I think if I recall correctly, one of the discussions was, if we allow memes, it's all going to be memes because that it's easy to see, it gets upvoted, we want to be a place.
And why is comedy not allowed in atheism? I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's like, you gotta be stuffy. And you gotta be like weird.
I think this is a tough call, and I'm saying this, I know it's biased because I write articles and not memes, but I think the point is, like, if we want to substitute,
you get it.
Well, no one else agrees. But I think the idea is, if we allow memes and quick hits that are just, you know, mocking religion, it's so easy for those to get upvoted that the things of substance and discussion in the long term.
I remember
where they're coming from, but
reasoning.
It can get
for
annoying
for censorship.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah. Good call, everybody. So now they never make it to the front page. And it's basically, you know, a shadow of what it once was. So what I have witnessed, and no surprise here, nothing new under the sun, folks, atheist voices continually get silenced and sublimated and moved to the corner.
Let me add this to this. Even if you see one of my articles at the top of Reddit atheism, I promise you, it doesn't actually lead to like a gazillion views all of a sudden. So
no, but, yeah, I mean, you know, well, because I mean? Then you're getting into the whole click through rates thing. Oh, what it takes to make humans read.
I know. Oh, I know.
But they like the salacious stuff, like when you have a book, and then there's like a father, and then like his wife gets turned to salt. And then he goes in the cave.
You got to start your headlines with 12 reasons why XYZ. You wouldn't believe that.
You wouldn't believe.
You'll never believe.
But that's my point, Jesus. Even then, they'll find a way
to
shut it down, because it's not good for the ad markets, you see.
Yeah.
Someone has determined.
It's always frustrating to have to battle an algorithm trying to get your ideas out there.
Yeah.
But this new site, Only Sky, it's atheists uniting for once, right?
No, not a chance. We don't do that. No, but what it is you might have an atheist who happens to be, for example, a veterinarian or a therapist or someone who's just saying, yeah, I do this. I happen to be an atheist, but this is what I do, and I want to talk about it. But I'm not going to pretend that religion is a force for good. I'm not going to pretend that there's this default that God exists. And so you have a lot of people coming at it from that angle where it's like, it almost feels like I'm getting a wider mix of the sort of articles I associate with atheism.
Good. Yeah. So you're liking it there.
I do. It's a good mix. There's good chatter. I'm not used to saying that about any online space, you know?
Maybe I'll start, you know, commenting.
I do love that name, Only Sky. Right? There's nothing up there. It's right? Only Sky.
Do you think they would let me have a page there, or would they ban me?
There is a humor section.
Oh, what? What?
What?
What do you mean?
A whole comedy section. Yeah, I see that. At first, I thought this was a play on OnlyFans, but then I quickly understood.
We had that discussion, too, and we thought, you know what? It's probably different enough that no one's going to mix up the two.
No, yeah. I did, because that did not occur to me, Jesus, but that just shows where your brain is at.
Sorry, yeah, OnlyFans is my homepage, so I get it confused.
Good for you, Jesus. So I couldn't help but notice, you know, we've been friends for a long time. You've been on the God Pod twice, but still don't follow me on Twitter.
Do I not?
And I know I brought it up last time. Like, some people, their big thing is like get verified by Twitter. I don't care about that.
I could have sworn I do.
No.
All right,
no.
I'll fix that.
God's ego is very fragile. He really needs the followers. He's
when someone doesn't follow me, so it's like injurious, you know? Anyway.
I do read all the tweets on my timeline because like it's not a big list. I don't follow a lot of people.
Oh,
but
so
it's
you
because
use lists.
No. I everyone I follow are people whose I read everything they give me. So I don't follow most people if I get their stuff from somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Oh, but you see some of my things show up in your feed?
Yeah, I do. So I thought I was following you.
Wow, no, yeah. That's cool. I just checked again. Nope, still no. All right, we'll check again later.
I'm not by my phone right now.
He's focused not on this interview. Go. Come on. By the way, wait a second. I need to quickly say, Hemant, I was just Googling you, and I saw you were on Jeopardy? That's incredible.
When was that?
April of 2020, because I was competing with the pandemic.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, not too long before Alex died. He died later that year.
I got really lucky in that. I mean, lifelong dream, sure, to get on the show, and somehow it actually happened. And there were so many open questions because everyone knew he was sick, but we didn't know how sick. And I got to... they taped my episodes a few months before he passed and it aired a few months before he passed. So like I got the real experience that everyone talks about. If you are a fan of the show, in that the pandemic hadn't instituted, like it hadn't, they taped it before anything happened. So we were all there.
Yeah.
There were no masks. There was an audience. Alex was there. It was an awesome, amazing thing to have happen. And I would have said that even if I lost, because it was just a cool thing to have happen until everything just went to hell.
You got to meet Alex Trebek.
Briefly. I mean, he would not remember who I am, you know, regardless, because I'm a dime a dozen there. But it was an awesome opportunity. I mean, I got to have my 5 seconds with the guy during the little interview portion. Yeah, exactly. It was really nice.
That's so exciting. And Hemant won, like you just mentioned.
Yeah, I heard episodes.
There were two episodes. Yeah. I got lucky and won the first episode, and I got unlucky and fairly lost the second episode.
Well, it's pretty hard.
Honestly, the cool thing was I feel like it's always cliche when someone's like, it's an honor to be nominated. I was super excited to get on, and I thought, you know, if I could do well, I might be able to pull off one win. I know my limits. It's not going to be more than that. And I got that. So I was very excited.
Is it all about studying the book they give you of questions and answers?
They give you nothing.
What?
They give you nothing? I heard they give you a book like you can study.
Not a chance. No? Nothing. Oh, your textbook is literally anything and everything, which is why you end up seeing some of the most viral clips on the show are like, here's a category on football and no one knows anything
because
they didn't know to study it. And believe me, there were plenty of categories where I saw and I'm like, oh, damn it. Not on my list of things I looked at, but there was, I will say, I think in the second episode of my two, there was a whole category on books of the Bible.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Go Did you ace that one?
Someone beat me to the punch on one of the questions. I took the next three, and then I was debate. And then here's my dilemma. This is the only thing I've ever second guessed on the show. Mm-hmm. The last clue was there, and it was near the end of the episode, and I had a decent lead. And I was like, if I go for that last clue, it might be a daily double. And I know I would have to risk everything, because how could I not? And I would.
Right.
And the middle questions, I'm like, oh, I barely knew that one. Oh, damn. I got it right, but I wasn't sure. Yeah. And then, oh, man, I took a stab in the dark and I got it right. I'm probably going to screw up the last one. So I didn't do it. And I didn't put the game away. Oh. And I ended up losing. But I'm like, I wonder what would have happened, because I have no idea what that question was.
Yeah. Fortune favors the bold, folks.
I hear you.
Wow. So how much did you win total?
I think over the 2 days, it came out to about 16,000-ish.
Nice.
Cool.
That's a new car.
No complaints.
Not bad for what? 40 minutes work actual filming?
like I said, getting on the show was cool enough. And then the fact that it went well, it was like, holy crap, that was crazy.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I actually watch Jeopardy every night these days. So I got excited when I saw this picture of you.
At a time when there's so much like fake news and arguments about politics, it's like, here's a place where facts actually matter. It's kind of nice.
Yes. Yes.
It's like, I saw a viral clip a few weeks ago on like Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what it was.
I saw that.
Like, nobody could figure out what seemed like a very obvious answer.
Right.
And this is the thing. Like, this is the fear going into my taping, which is, of course, I want to do well, but I'm really afraid of becoming a viral moment for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And that could totally happen at any moment. And it's frightening.
That daily double isn't just you lose the show. It's you lose your audience.
Well, in my case, it would have been the atheist got cocky, risked it all on a Bible book and got it wrong. I'm like, oh, shit. I don't want that to happen.
That's God working his magic.
I know. I got lucky. I mean, for better or for worse, nothing we did went viral.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
And then it's like, why not?
For most people. Yeah, exactly.
I like watching shows like that as a nice escape. What's that other one with Steve Harvey? The Facts of Life.
Family Feud.
Family Feud. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't he like a kind of a crazy
religious
guy?
He is super religious and very sexist is too simple of a way to do it. But it's, you know, if the guy your daughter is dating happens to be an atheist, you need to get her to break up with him. That sort of mindset. He's done that before.
What the hell, Steve? I'll tell you what. I'm going to try and get on Family Feud with Jesus here.
Oh,
I would watch that. I would watch the
whole God Pod crew, and we're going to take him to task. He's going to try and make his cute little jokes or whatever, and we'd be like, fuck you, Steve.
It would be amazing.
He's a king of comedy, though. He would probably fillet me.
He has a show now on ABC where he's a judge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a judge now on a show.
And I've checked it out. It's so stupid. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. But I do love Family Feud, so whatever.
Again, another good thing I liked about Jeopardy is like, with some of those shows, it's so gimmicky. And once you get over like, oh, Steve Harvey's a judge, it's not really entertaining and it's a lot of fluff. And on a show like Jeopardy, it's like, oh no, there are like 61 questions that we're whipping through in about 20 minutes. With interviews and all that.
It's kind of like Wordle in a sense that like sometimes you'll get the answer, and even if like other people get the answer, you're like, I got it. And sometimes you'll get the final Jeopardy and no one gets it, and I am a genius.
And you feel super smart. I will tell you, we taped 5 episodes in the day I was there to tape. I was on 2 of them, and I remember thinking like I was on the
5 episodes a day. Like, damn.
Yeah. I was on the, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday show, or maybe it was Wednesday and Thursday show. No, Wednesday and Thursday show. But I'll tell you this. I watched the Monday from the audience, and I'm like, I knew that final Jeopardy. I watched the Friday show and I'm like, I knew that Final Jeopardy.
Damn it.
Of course, the ones I was on, I did not know either one.
Yeah.
It was so frustrating.
I should have prayed.
Yeah. Oh. I'm like, oh, I look stupid. But whatever. I got lucky on one of them and I won.
Yeah.
But also, I'm like, well, at least it wasn't such a simple clue that I think everyone who was watching would have gotten it. Mm-hmm. But I did feel dumb.
Yeah.
Do you do the Wordle now? Or are you into that?
Totally. Oh yeah. Word games, too. Crosswords. I've written a crossword that was in the New York Times, and they have a couple more that are waiting in the wings. They'll publish them when they feel like it. Yeah.
Very cool.
So I love
maybe
games.
You'll be the new New York Times crossword guy, guru.
I totally won't be. But there are a couple, at least they've told me, there's a couple Saturday puzzles in the queue. I don't know when they'll go up, but they're there.
Yeah, I like to do the Wordle at like 12:01.
Yeah, you're on there.
Like, the new puzzle's up.
And I get it done now in like, 30 seconds, usually, because I've gotten better at it or whatever.
The variant.
And I'm like, I'm a genius. I did it.
Try Q-U-O-R-D-L-E.
Quartle. Oh, I do that one, too.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
I do that one. I do the Octoordle, and then I do Setadordle, and then I do Dordadordle.
Of
and
course.
Then, of course, there's Swerdle. Have you done Swerdle?
Oh, yeah.
It's just words like tits. It's four-letter words. It's really dumb.
Have you heard of Hurdle yet? This is a musical one. Oh, guess the song from the intro tries as possible. Yeah, so you actually listen.
I also do Worldle, which is you have to identify a country from its shape.
Which is
exceptionally difficult, even though I created this planet.
When I was studying for the show, I memorized every world capital, because I figured there's a gazillion ways to ask about a nation and its capital or it might show up. And they never asked me about any of them, but they did ask. There was an entire category on here's the language. Tell us the country. And I'm like, fuck if I know any of these. I know.
You put your eggs heavy in that basket.
I know, because you don't know what to study, so you go for the heavy hitters, thinking maybe this is a good area to study that I don't know all the answers to,
right.
And of course it never came up.
Personally, I feel like the way to study is like your whole life.
Right, that's the answer.
But also, I feel like the scariest thing is being a whippersnap on that button. Is it all about the button?
Oh yeah.
Yes. I mean, most of the people who make it to the show, super smart. Most of the people know most of the answers to everything. So a lot of the game is as soon as Alex or whoever the host is done reading the question. And by the way, this is a strategy a lot of people use. Just assume you know the answer. And as soon as they're done reading the question, buzz in as fast as you can. And then try to figure out what the answer is.
Of course.
Because odds are
that's
you'll get
my favorite.
Because
then they're just like, what is.
They're like, oh, wait, I don't have it. Never mind.
And everyone's like, why did you buzz in? You didn't know the answer. It's like, because buzzing in is harder than actually knowing the answer.
And then there's people who just never buzz at all.
Or it seems like that. Because like if your buzzer is down here off screen right here, I could be buzzing in over over. And you would. So sometimes you're like, I'm going to do it up here and go like this so that you think I'm actually doing something. And you
those
know
people
I'm not
stress
a
me
idiot.
Out.
I would just start yelling at my fellow contestants like, can you give me a chance? Cool.
This is the other thing. So you're in a room with like 11 or 12 people who are all going to be on the show, plus an alternate or two. And like secretly when you meet them, it's like, I want to hate all of you because I want to destroy you because all of you are standing in my dream, in the way of my dream here. And the worst thing about it is they were all so nice.
Yeah.
You
were the only one that felt that way. Psycho.
No,
I'm Facebook friends with a couple of the people I played against. They're really nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? Like,
wait,
like,
you said there were alternate contestants? What do you mean? Like, if somebody passes out, they have somebody on backup?
They had, I think 11 of us were going to play that day, including a returning champion and then two new people in every game. So there were 11 people there, and they brought in one alternate who lived in Los Angeles, who was the maybe if something went wrong and someone got sick and didn't show up. And if they did not play, they would show up and definitely play the next go around. So they did that with local contestants just to make sure, because you got to film 5 episodes that day. So you got to make sure there's an extra.
Interesting.
What was the feeling like when you realized you had won?
Oh, shit. I can't believe it. And then they gave me, actually, I think I won the game right before our lunch break. So I had about an hour to eat some food and digest, like literally not just the food, but the, oh, shit, that just happened with the other contestants who are waiting to go up against me now. who are also super nice, but also it's like, oh, shit, you're all gunning for me now.
Yeah. So did you intimidate them? You're like, yeah.
I clearly did not.
Genius.
Spit your lunch in their face.
But other than that break, for the other people, it's like, oh, shit, I won. Also, wow, I just have 5 minutes to change shirts, get another dose of makeup, and then I'm right back out there. That's all the time you get between shows.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you really, well, first of all, I thought you got to study from a book. Second of all,
it's part of why you really, they'd really tell you, like, if you haven't been preparing this your whole life, you're not going to be ready.
So that just makes you, like, there was someone who recently went on a run.
Oh, yeah.
That just makes it all the more impressive.
They've had so many people who have had such long runs, and that was, I think, the biggest fear going in there. It's like, you don't know who the returning contestant is, and it could be someone who's on one of the hottest streaks ever. And you're all of you are about to think, you think you're about to live your dream come true. And no, you are all just lambs to the slaughter for the next champion who's just bulldozing everybody. And we got lucky that it was just a regular run of episodes and anyone had a fair shot of winning. But we lucked out there.
There you go. Dreams come true, folks. Go on a show. I figured
if they do, they will be followed by a pandemic and world war.
Oh.
Before we continue with today's episode, we'd like you to go to thegodpodcast.com to learn more about everything that we do. Subscribe to our newsletter or our Patreon. Give us a review or follow us on social media. It's all there at thegodpodcast.com. When you join the God Pod Patreon, you'll get emailed the second a new episode is posted. Don't like ads in your God Pod? On Patreon, our episodes are ad-free. And the link to our Patreon is at thegodpodcast.com. Plus, when you join our Patreon, you'll gain automatic access to our monthly live God Pod party. And you could even get on the show. Or play Dungeons & Dragons with your fellow heathens on our community Discord server. There is so much fun waiting for you. Join today by visiting thegodpodcast.com. Again, that's thegodpodcast.com. Thanks, humans.
Last time we spoke, Trump was president and World War III felt imminent. What's changed?
Trump is going to be president again and World War III.
Don't say that. No.
It's in your hands. And World War III is still imminent, if not worse. So, yeah, I mean, has stuff changed a little bit? I mean, I could breathe a sigh of relief after the last election, but like it never gets easier. It never seems like it's getting better. But I mean, in the long run, like hopefully the virus is going away slowly, knock on wood. You know what I mean? Like, and I'd I'd much rather have this administration in charge than an alternate one. So it's like, I know everyone loves to complain, but man, I can't even, it's a weird little game to play. Like imagine if Biden
Trump was still president.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know.
Yeah.
Did America's response to COVID shock or surprise you at all?
It depends on in what capacity. I wasn't surprised by the fact that so many people were anti-vax. I wasn't surprised by the fact that so many people refused to sacrifice anything.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, because a lot of people were very surprised. But, you know, you and I,
I mean,
being on the front lines of this, we kind of saw it coming, right?
Having spent the previous decade and plus talking about how religious people conservative religious people really reject
plumbing
science.
The depths of America's stupidity. Really.
Yeah, I could see that wasn't going to end well. On the flip side, the fact that they got a vaccine out as quickly as they did, that
amazing.
Was effective. Amazing. And doesn't get the credit it deserves.
True.
That fact.
I get all that credit.
And the fact that, of course you do. And the way that people who were responsible made sacrifices, I mean, it's kind of amazing what the good people did, which is awe-inspiring and amazing. Mm. And I'm not at all surprised that so many people either are so ignorant of what's going on or how it's spreading or what they need to do that they're willing to sacrifice everyone and everything because they're arrogant. And what is that inspired by? Maybe it's their faith. Maybe it's their political leaning.
While pretending to care about the golden rule, right?
Right. And they don't. And I mean, I'm not surprised by it, but it seemed like the Biden administration was shocked that people weren't going to do the right thing. I don't really get that.
Or feigned shock. But yeah, it's... Yeah. Everyone was so true to form.
You know, you wish something like a pandemic would have changed people, and yet, nope, made everyone double
down.
You
think in like times of emergency, you know, maybe people will change their mind, go a different way. Nope. Oh, yeah. Humans. About what's going on in the world, have you seen how the Russian Orthodox Church is vocally supporting Putin's invasion?
Yeah, I mean, Kirill, the guy who's like the head of their church, right. He's always been pro-Putin, but he's also always been pro-insane, name your insane take, he's there. So okay. I'm not that surprised by it, but I think his latest thing is, well, of course Russia's going to win, and the countries that are going to lose are the ones that have like gay pride parades.
Right.
I mean, he's always been like that. The question is, like, how much power does he really wield? Because he's always kind of been a laughing stock for everyone outside his bubble. So I'm debating how much stock to put in his influence. I'm not surprised that he's aligned.
Oh, I think he definitely has influence, as does their state media.
Yeah.
Just like Fox News does in the United States.
What amuses me is someone like Franklin Graham, who has a lot of power within the United States, who very much was not speaking out against Putin when it mattered. But now he's, of course, trying to be like, of course, we're going to help Ukraine with.
Oh, that's the most infuriating thing of all.
Dude, I have a picture of you in Russia.
Yeah. Like all there, the, there know, was right? like one year there was like 7 or 8 Republican senators all went to Moscow on the 4th of July.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
And of course,
they didn't say why.
Well, they had to be there for their country.
Yeah, how dare you ask those questions, God? Yeah, I'm just saying, isn't it nice long term we have video to document this?
I want to think that. I mean, believe me, as someone who has made a career out of showing clips of those videos, what bothers me is how many people don't seem to care.
Yeah, my next question was, will it matter?
It won't. Nothing ever matters.
Those are
right?
deep fakes.
But one thing, I mean, I'm not in the game of trying to convince the people who are already lost causes. I'm very much
me either. I gave up on that shit a long time ago.
Yeah. If you're watching and you might be curious or you're on the fence about this stuff, I hope even religious people could watch a lot of the stuff I'm posting or read the stuff I'm writing and say, okay, maybe we disagree about the God thing, but I agree with you on this thing. And if that happens enough times, like maybe something will click. And again, I'm not keeping a running tally somewhere. If someone wants to convert to atheism, like do it on your own time. I don't care.
You are definitely one of the lead heretics rounding up atheists. Believe me, like I've got a scorecard.
If that happens, great. But like, I don't care. I very much am
like the Jordan.
Believe whatever you want, but like, I want to know what you're going to do with your beliefs. And if you're fighting for the right causes and you hold the right values, like, I'll let the other stuff go on the back burner for now.
Yeah, you're like the Tom Brady of converting heathens.
I can never leave then. I just must keep coming back for more.
That's why you never retire.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. Psych.
Oh, damn you, Brady.
I know.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this ongoing struggle between religious fanatics in the USA and the forces of reason and science?
Jeez.
Are people getting, in America, are they getting smarter or stupider?
There are more people willing to leave organized religion, even if they still believe in God. And I think that's a great sign. But what that means is they're usually not leaving the most fundamentalist churches. They're leaving the mainstream ones that they just weren't that into. Which means the churches that end up getting stronger and get more members and are growing tend to be the right wing ones.
The QAnon ones, right.
Yeah, the ones that really are hostile to LGBTQ people, that really preach a conservative version of the Bible, that that do, I mean, I use good, but I don't mean good. Like the ones that do a really good job of making sure you stay in their fold and stay in their bubble and never leave. Those are the ones that end up expanding. So like Southern Baptist churches end up doing fine, whereas Presbyterian or, you know,
nice ones do terrible.
Relatively nice ones are not doing so well.
Wow, that makes so much sense because they run it like a cult.
Yeah, that's the scary thing. It's the same reason you might see people saying I'm not like into politics, but like the Republican Party, the Trump wing of it isn't really fading away. They're not disappearing. It's the people who are kind of like iffy who are the ones leaving that party. So it's like, are we better off as a result? I do want to see people leaving, but also what's left behind is kind of scary.
I agree. Left behind. It all comes back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Have you been watching that show, Righteous Gemstones?
You know what? I should, and I haven't.
Dude, man.
It's really good.
Broseph.
We're big fans here.
I have heard that. Dude. I have heard it's amazing.
Your toes will curl. All right. You're going to love it. Okay. I mean, it's great. Okay.
But here's the thing. I watch so much actual, like, preaching and crazy shit that it's like I don't need to watch the fictionalized version of it.
Oh, no, but it's good satire. Oh,
it
no,
is
it's
good
funny.
But I see where Hammond is coming from. Like, that's just more of the same, right? Really.
Right,
you're gonna be like, this is too true, too close to reality.
I'm
embarrassed to admit it. Listen, if there's a Survivor version in English, whether it's in the US, Australian Survivor is fantastic. I don't watch Jeopardy.
Wow.
I did it. I've moved on.
Just like me, I don't listen to podcasts, you know, but I also have. I'm a huge Survivor fan. Huh. I love that. I love watching these humans pretend to starve on islands and stuff. It just takes me back.
I end up watching all the like the late night comedy shows because it's in my wheelhouse. But in terms of like drama, fictionalized stuff, it's one of those, like, unless it's done with the series and I know it's good, I'm not doing a Game of Thrones thing where, and I didn't watch it, but it's like, oh, I didn't watch it because I wasn't sure how it was going to end. And then after it ended, I was proven right. We're like, nope, it wasn't worth the investment of my time.
That's how I felt about Lost.
That's what got me started on that. I was invested in the show. It disappointed me. I'm
From
never
the very beginning. I was like, it's obviously purgatory, you morons.
I'm never doing script.
And they're like, no, the showrunner said it's not purgatory. They said it's not. And then in the end, it was basically.
I was so obsessed with Lost and they disappointed me and I'm done with scripted television forever.
Okay.
Until it's done and you tell me it was worth it.
Oh, I just watched this show called The Detroiters.
Okay.
With Tim Robinson and Sam Richardson.
Oh, I love Tim Robinson. Okay.
And it is absolutely phenomenal. Highly recommend. Love them.
If it's those guys, I'm sure it was really good.
It is good. You'll love it. All right. You have a podcast, right?
I do. Not surprisingly, called the Friendly Atheist Podcast.
Right. Cool.
And we mostly discuss whatever news stories were in the news that week relating to religion and politics and feminism and the stuff religious conservatives talk about.
Right. How's that going?
It's good. We've been doing it for so long now. It feels like it feels like a habit in a good way.
I know what you mean.
You know, but it's myself and a co-host, Jessica. And honestly, outside of podcast interviews like this one, it's probably the only time all week I get to talk about these stories out loud with someone who doesn't follow them obsessively like I do. It's
therapy.
A nice way to bounce ideas off of someone, get told I'm wrong, which happens often, but just to talk about this stuff with someone else, because otherwise I don't have an outlet for that, you know?
I hear you. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have guests?
No, we stopped a long time ago.
It's hard, right? It's hard.
It's not just hard. It became more interesting for me and it became more interesting for the listeners, I think, because the guests, it was hit or miss. They either really wanted to listen to someone or no. But with the news stories, they can easily flip back and forth between what is your take on this or explain this to me.
And that's what they're used to.
So we ended up just kind of switching to that all the time.
Friendly Atheist Podcast. Check it out.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some philosophy now.
Dear God.
Because, some quotes. And I want to get, we're just going to have some fun with them. Let me just check to see if Hemant has followed me on Twitter yet. And
I haven't touched my phone.
He's been busy talking.
All right, you know,
come
take
on,
five,
God.
Piss break.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Jesus, why don't you read this first quote?
Yeah. And Hemant, it'll be interesting to get your take on this. Okay. So this is from Isaac Asimov. Properly read, the Bible is the most potent force for atheism ever conceived.
Is that an Asimov original? I feel like I've heard that in many contexts, but I agree with that. I agree with that sentiment, which is that most people don't read the Bible, period, even the ones who believe in it. And I think, I mean, this is a project I started doing on YouTube a while ago because I thought it would be funny to just point out all the contradictions between Genesis 1 and 2, the creation stories. And then it's like, well, if I did 2, I must go on to 3 because that's Adam and Eve. And now I'm finishing up Leviticus and moving on to Numbers, and it just keeps going. But the point being, there's so much there, and this is the reaction I've gotten from people. They did not realize what was in there because those are not the verses that preachers, pastors tend to dwell on.
Right.
And when you realize that stuff is in there, it's like you really cannot make the case that this is a good book, metaphorically even.
No, it's terrible. I didn't write it. I had nothing to do with it. And I got to say, you know, so it's all over the place with its veracity, fake news.
Yeah.
But the first time that I actually tried to read it, I shit you not, halfway through Leviticus, by the time you get to Leviticus or anywhere through that, you realize that almost no one actually reads the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one.
Part of it is just boring. But also some of the stories, it's like, holy crap, this is in there. It's horrifying.
They don't get past the sea of begats. And,
right.
And that's meant on purpose, I think, because if they were to actually read it, they would all wind up atheists.
Right. If you read the next page, if you made it through the begats, you would have become an atheist. They got to put all
the
that.
The wall of begats. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, there's also walls of, I just finished writing up a chapter where it's an itinerary for a road trip they're taking. And it's literally a whole chapter of they went from here to here and here to here and here to here.
I know. This is filler. All filler, no killer. Well, a little bit of killer.
There's so much killer.
Oh, yeah. There's so much killer. That's true.
Yeah.
Who could forget? Let's get to this next quote, Jesus.
Okay. This next one from Friedrich Nietzsche.
Okay.
Nietzsche.
I think it's
Nietzsche. Hammett?
Nietzsche.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
I think Nietzsche. Yeah, I got it right.
I couldn't spell it for
you. I'm
not
always good at pronunciation. But
I would get the spelling wrong, but go on.
He's a dick, whatever.
Is man merely a mistake of God's, or God merely a mistake of man?
Oh, whoa. Yeah, ladder. Nice. Yeah, yeah. I mean, if it wasn't God, we would have created something else to explain whatever the hell's going on in our world. So it's our mistake. We got to own that. And again, this is the thing. Even if people don't believe in a God or a particular God, they'll believe it. It's not like people who don't believe in God don't believe in other forms of BS, you know? So
like astrology.
Yeah. Like supernatural stuff is a powerful thing for a lot of people. They want to believe there's something else out there. So, God is our mistake, but there's no shortage of mistakes.
Whatever, humans. All I know is you're my favorite mistake.
Thank you.
Let me say that again. All I know is you're my favorite mistake. I made a mistake.
That's
there.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Sheryl Crow. Yeah.
That could be a greeting card.
All right. Why don't you read this next one, Jesus, and give this one your best stank.
Oh, man. From your favorite God, George Carlin. I don't know what you mean by give it stank, but
I don't know
his attitude.
Just whatever.
Okay. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you.
Yeah.
It's all about the pause there, Jesus. It's loves you.
George Carlin's bits on religion are so freaking evergreen.
Yeah. Well done, Jesus. Yeah, right? It's impossible to say it as well as he did. Check him out. If you haven't listened to George Carlin, folks, recommend it.
Oh, my God. On the Ten Commandments, on death, on abortion. I mean, on so many of the things he said and this is hard for comedians. It has lasted this long. Oh. It's still as funny today as it was whenever he said them 20, 30 years ago.
Total genius. He roasted my ass.
Yeah.
That's why I never show up for his shows here in heaven. All right, let's move on to the goddamn news, Jesus.
So, attention-seeking Elon Musk challenges Vladimir Putin to a fight over Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, we're all going to die.
Have you seen this? Have you seen what Elon Musk tweeted today?
I try not to.
Me either. It just comes to me.
He doubled down on his statement because somebody called him out. He said thousands of people dying and you make it about yourself. And then he replied, I am absolutely serious.
No.
So, yeah, he said he hereby challenges him to single combat.
The wrong people have all the money and power.
Right. He's a total moron.
Is he like taking up Lindsey Graham's suggestion? Have you seen Lindsey Graham? He said multiple times now somebody has to assassinate Putin. Like, he's literally said that. So I wonder if Elon's inspired by that.
Man, I always am amazed at those rich people who say the craziest things. Like, you have no one in your life that tells you this is a bad idea?
He doesn't. He had someone, but she left him.
Right. After a second secret baby.
So you have to understand this.
Yeah.
Grimes just left him for Chelsea Manning.
Oh. Yes.
So Elon is going to go full Kanye now.
Oh, no.
Except his Pete Davidson is Chelsea Manning.
What's the baby's name? The second one had a weird name, too.
It looks like a link. It's like a bunch of numbers and letters.
It looks like a link.
Did you see this thing? He posted a meme today. I support the current thing. And behind this little...
I did see that.
It's like a gray...
It looks like kind of one of those Facebook banners people overlay on their profile picture.
But this person is holding a Ukrainian flag, which is confusing because
he seems
to be in support of Ukraine.
Right.
He's making fun of being very, very edgelord. And then the next meme.
Imagine being worth as much as he is and spending all your time just trolling people.
Because there's no one that loves him.
Him and J.K. Rowling. Very confusing why they both spend so much time on Twitter.
So Grimes left him for Chelsea Manning, and then he posts this photo of an obese. Who is that?
It's the guy from Narcos.
Narcos. Pablo Escobar.
Yes.
Sitting on a bench. And then above it says, Netflix waiting for the war to end to make a movie about a black Ukraine guy falls in love with a transgender Russian soldier.
Okay.
So that's got 842,000 likes.
Of course it does.
127,000 retweets. 21,000 responses. Yeah, this is what he posts because, again, Grimes left him for Chelsea Manning.
Armageddon cannot come soon enough.
So, yeah.
Does money buy happiness? The answer is no, as evidenced by people like Elon and J.K. Rowling. If I was a billionaire, I would be in a cabin on the lake in the woods with no cell phone. I would just be so far removed from the internet.
You wouldn't pull like an Iron Man or a Batman and maybe, you know.
No, I would have to lead a simple life. Again. Nope. Simple private life.
I think that's why those things are so appealing and so fictional. It's like, can you imagine?
Just get off the grid for a little bit. Use your money to do good. Nope. They've decided to go after, I don't know, Facebook banners and trans people. I don't really understand the logic.
Me neither.
Just buy some friends who will tell you.
That's the one thing you can't buy with money. Money can't buy love.
You could buy so many of them.
But they wouldn't be genuine, right?
Just find someone who could tell you you're stupid. and then take the
phone. He's got that same problem as Putin, you know? You got so much money and nobody wants to say shit to you.
Right.
They just want to keep getting the money train.
Yeah, right. They're surrounded by yes men.
Is Elon Muskism a religion yet? Feels like a cult. I mean, they've got their own currency, too. But anytime you make fun of Elon Musk, there's always some bro who's like, no! And he dives in front.
I wouldn't put it past people. I mean, the ones who think he's an absolute genius, which I don't quite get. But yeah, the people who love him, love him. And they all seem to run in similar circles in terms of what they like. I don't know. True. I don't quite get it.
Bitcoin,
it's not my thing.
Elon Musk.
Right, right.
UFC, Joe Rogan.
Right.
It's interesting. It's interesting. I think it should be covered, you know, in that same vein of extreme, like Trumpism. I think you should cover as a cult. Do you cover it as a cult?
I treat it as a pernicious thing, not as a cult per se, but I do try to cover it because it's a perfect mixture of religious extremism and conservative
QAnon,
politics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
QAnon, I mean, especially is a cult.
There was, I think I read an article where they surveyed pastors, and there half of those pastors said, yeah, there are QAnon believers in our church.
Mm-hmm.
But also they didn't want to address it. They didn't want to kick those people out, and they just let it fester. Like
that's
the
what
problem.
Always pisses me off.
Like, it's why like, can't, if they're not going to call it out, what are they going to expect from anyone else?
That's what we're here for. So, So Texas has passed this abortion law. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, that was insane. And it's as terrible as could possibly have been predicted. Right.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. You can't get an abortion in Texas effectively, and they're making it really hard for you to leave the state. And if you're a person of color, if you're a person who doesn't have a lot of money to go out of state somewhere, like you're really screwed.
Mm-hmm. I even saw today. And you tell me if this is true. A Republican lawmaker in Texas has introduced a bill that would allow the death penalty for women who have abortions.
I don't remember if that's accurate or not, but I wouldn't put it past them.
All right. Jesus, let's get a fact check on that.
I mean, somebody tweeted it, this guy. As I said that, I was like, wait a second.
There was someone
here's
in
here's
his verified.
Here's a story actually from March 9, 2021. From the Texas Tribune. Another Texas GOP lawmaker is attempting to make abortion punishable by the death penalty. This is not a new idea.
Yeah.
So it is real. And what would George Carlin say about that? This is just like the most ironic fucking thing possible. And it's horrible. Pro-life.
They're pro-life and pro-death, and they don't see the hypocrisy there. It's scary. And someone, I think, in Missouri tried to offer an amendment that would have not allowed an abortion even in the case of like an ectopic pregnancy, which would kill the woman. By and large, it would kill the woman. And again, they don't care. They just don't care. They're so obsessed with fetuses and worshiping fetuses that they do not care who they're hurting in the process. Because you can get these people to care about anything that's imaginary. They just won't care about actual humans.
Obsession.
So true.
Obsession is the key word, isn't it?
Like, they love telling you they care about things they will never actually have to care about. So unborn babies, they're awesome because they require nothing from you.
Right. But as soon as they're born.
Yeah, whatever. They're on their own. And this is the George Carlin line.
It goes back. He said the same thing.
If you're pre-born, you're fine. If you're preschool, you're fucked. Something like that.
A fellow fan. God. Well, Clarence Thomas was in the news recently. He said the Supreme Court could be compromised by politics.
I know. Can you even imagine?
Wow.
And meanwhile...
Please.
Yeah. Maybe we're going the same way. Clarence's wife said this week that she attended the Stop the Steal rally.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Sounds and political.
And has been linked to all these right-wing groups that have cases in front of the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Right. There's no Supreme Court justice more compromised than Clarence Thomas right now. This
and
is very rich.
And none of it matters because Republicans do not care.
This is like a pattern of people saying things that is just gaslighting. Like, this is like Kim Kardashian saying, you got to get off your ass and work. I mean, this is just bald-faced asshattery. Shut up, Clarence. What should we talk about next?
Well, we should mention Disney CEO apologizing for silence on the Don't Say Gay bill, because, God, you had brought it up last week, but after you guys recorded, he apologized, like I just said, but he also announced he's pausing donations to Florida politicians.
Pausing.
And while also, they investigate further.
Why are you pausing donations to the Democrats fighting it? First of all, that's stupid. And also, like, they still, that guy, Chapek, hasn't figured out that how much power Disney has in Florida, which is like, I don't understand what they're, if anyone has the power to change this, it's Disney, because it's them.
What is the name of the Disney CEO?
Bob Chapek.
Oh, okay.
He's new.
He's
like a year or two ago.
He's new in the job. But again, you would think this is one of the things dealing with Florida Republicans would be like top of the line when it comes to the job description. And the fact that you're just willing to say, like, yeah, we don't want to get involved in politics, we're Disney or some version of that, suggests you don't know anything about your company culture or what you're putting out there or who works for you or what they care about. Like, oh my God, how bad do you have to be in your job to not understand that?
It's very strange. I went to Disney World recently and, like, a lot of the employees that work there, I don't want to assume, but I'm pretty sure they were gay.
Well, and many of them have spoken out and
many employees there. Right. And then a lot of the clientele, though, was wearing, like, Trump and QAnon shirts and, like, Thin Blue Line shirts and stuff like that. It's very surreal.
And speaking of gay God, I mean, people within Disney's production teams on the film side, I mean, a lot of creatives within Disney are LGBTQ.
A lot of people
plus,
in the creative industry apparently are LGBT. And you know what else? Broadway.
Yeah. And if right. And Disney's got their hands in Broadway, too. And if I'm looking at two jobs, one's at a company that's you know, not doing anything about the Don't Say Gay bill, and another company that is more supportive when it comes to gay people, I'm going to that company. So this kind of affects Disney's creative talent pool as well.
I mean, California already said, hey, move your studios back here, like, where your values align. But Florida gave them a huge tax break to keep filming movies over there, to keep doing their animation over there.
And I think they're like theme park design teams as well are being forced to move to Florida.
I mean, you can't have Florida without Disney, basically. It's such a huge part of their economy and reputation.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, if you're a Republican, that's the one company that has the power to do something here. And it's pretending that you can't be political, which is kind of what I think Chapek was trying to do. No, you don't get to sit on the sidelines for this one. I mean, I don't care if you're a giant company or just a random dude who has a following somewhere. You can't sit on the sideline and pretend to ask questions to both sides. There's plenty out there. This is all settled. Take a damn side and take the right one. It's not complicated.
Yep. Oh, man, this has been so embarrassing for him over the past couple weeks. I feel for everybody at Disney.
Damn right. I'm just lost in my thoughts. I've been watching this whole situation in the Ukraine.
Unfortunately.
The latest thing that I've seen that caught my attention is the Kremlin is featuring Tucker Carlson on its nightly newscasts every single night.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they're looking for any source of credibility outside their bubble, and Fox News loves giving it to them.
And he's still basically repeating their talking points all the time.
And apparently there's this leaked Kremlin memo to Russian media. It is, quote, essential to feature Tucker Carlson.
Right. They do it every night, like sometimes for half an hour.
I feel like if I have this right, like the Russian embassy or someone high up basically retweeted something by Candace, what's her face?
Oh, yeah. Candace Owens.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, when you get used by those people, shouldn't that be a red flag to all of you? Like, that something you're doing.
They're in on it. I think they know. I think they like, I know, like, okay, it sounds crazy to be like, they get paid. Cause now I sound like the people that accuse you, like you get paid by Soros or whatever. But why? I mean, why would they be doing this? Why would they be saying these things?
Even if they're not connected, even if they're not getting paid, the fact that their stuff is being used as propaganda mm-hmm. by those people, you would think any sane person would at least take pause, like maybe I'm the bad guy here.
Right. And then never
are we the baddies? And that never crosses their mind at all.
Yeah, like, I mean, philosophically, they just share the same views.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, think believe Madison me, Cawthorn called Zelensky a thug.
Yep.
And it's
and Trump still says like Putin is a hero or smart, very smart.
Right.
Stuff like
they're trying. They're talking on both sides of their mouth because on the one hand, they're praising them and attacking Ukrainians and attacking Biden over his response, but then they're mm-hmm. also trying to pretend like they support the Ukrainians, and it's infuriating because you've seen how much that they and Trump have just kissed Putin's ass.
Right.
For like,
which again, we, years. This is, imagine what would be happening right now if Trump was still in charge, because the argument I've heard from some people is, oh, well, Putin never would have invaded if Trump was in charge. That's because Trump would have been just saying, screw Ukraine, let him have it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. That's the problem. And this is what I hate. Like, Democrats are always left to clean up after Republican messes.
Right.
And when things go well, they do not get credit for mm-hmm. what they've done because the media, it typically favors Republicans and conflict. So I'm not just talking about Fox News. It's like regular mainstream news shows love playing up, well, Biden is bad on this and this. It's like he prevented like the world war, or the job numbers are up, or pick your metric. There's so many ways that they get covered differently.
And it's also it's the long tail. It's the long tail of like, you know, a nation. There's a lot of work that has to be done to set it back on the right path. And then mm-hmm. it starts to get better, and then the Republicans get reelected and they ruin it.
Right.
And then the Democrats fixing it, and on and on it goes.
Yeah.
But as far as Ukraine, the situation there, I've been reading a lot of military analysts saying, like, Russia's going to lose.
Man, I hope that's the case, but that requires, my fear is they're not going to lose yet. And that means there's going to be more fighting, more deaths, and more hesitation, because as with any sort of tragedy like this, the world's attention's not going to be there forever. And if it gets to the point where it doesn't happen soon that you defeat Russia, then there might just be this prolonged war that people stop paying attention to if it doesn't escalate. And that might be an even worse situation. So I don't know how this story ends. You do. But it's not good right now.
No, but I've been following it very closely. The Ukrainians are sort of like doing very, very well.
Yeah, yeah, they are. And it's amazing to see. They still need help from a lot of people. I don't know how much help they're going to get and what still needs to be done, but it's heartening to see them fighting back without ceding like their biggest cities yet. But that yet is a big deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a lot to take in and watch. Our hearts go out to them. It's time for Bless, Smite, and Second Coming. Now, this is a new segment, Hemant, where since the last time, a lot of things have changed since the last time you were here.
Okay.
We bless the things in the episode that we liked. We smite the things we hated. And Second Coming, those are things we want more of. We want to come back.
Well, of course, I have to bless Heaven's appearance on the show today. Thank you so much. And also your Jeopardy performance. Just wonderful. I need to see if I can find that episode. And yeah, we had a great talk about Jeopardy today. I wasn't kidding. I watch every night, so I got very excited. I want a Second Coming. This is like a different spin on Second Coming. God, I want a Second Coming, a God Wordle. So like, let's do our own Wordle called Godle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Jesus, Satan, faith, mercy, cross. Those are the starting words.
Or maybe the word every day is begat.
That's five letters. Yeah. Smite is five letters.
Yes.
Smite.
Again,
there you go.
Jesus, that's really hard.
What, to make it, to make Godel? I'll work on it. Okay. I'll work on it. And a Smite, this is Elon Musk for challenging Putin to a one-on-one fight.
I like it. I like it.
Do you feel prepared to take a swing at it, or should I go?
Go for it. Was mostly gonna say I agree with all of those.
That's what's so nice about Jesus going first is I can just piggyback.
Yeah.
I would also like to bless Hemet for joining us again. So much fun to have you back and just catch up after all this time.
Yeah.
About so much has gone. It's amazing what can happen in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Come back in a couple of years
after you've been on another game show. Wheel of Fortune.
And yeah. if the planet is still there, we'll talk to you. And, you know, maybe it'll be a dystopian future and you'll have an eye patch and a hook. And you'll tell us about having been on Survivor. But it was
that would be the dream, my friend.
The modern one. Okay. And I would also like to smite. You know what? I see him flying under the radar, Clarence Thomas. Okay. You know, you can't, you're the most compromised. Just shut up.
Can I just smite Cawthorn?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's all I got for you.
Okay.
I just want to see him smited.
Yeah. No bless, no second coming. That's fine.
Nope. Nothing good has happened ever. No, I was gonna say I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me back. I wholeheartedly welcome the second coming of this interview whenever that is. But I can't get my mind off of who I hate, and right now it's Cawthorn.
Right. All right, well done. Smite. It's time for your new commandment of the week. Thanks, Hammett.
Thank you.
New commandment: thou shalt not pray for Ukraine. I mean, I'm great and all, what with the lightning strikes and fireballs and the ripped pecs, but I can't keep up with these modern weapons. So instead of praying, thou shalt give Ukraine anti-air and anti-missile systems. The Lord has spoken.